Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Squadcast, the official podcast of GenreSquad.com. We're your hosts, Robert Sutton.
And Sean Stidham.
And welcome back. We've been on a long hiatus. I've had some...
Right away, huh?
Yeah, I've had some family issues. We have been unable to record for a few weeks. Yeah, so...
Well, it's been... God, how long?
Almost 2 months, yeah, something like that. It's been rough.
I want to say on the downloads for this podcast, I really appreciate the one person every week that downloads a podcast and we don't do it.
Right, yeah.
There's always at least one.
At least one,
it's
yeah.
Not me. Are you right? Doing it?
No, it's not me either. So we've got some loyal listener out there that's like, "Is this one new? Damn it!" And then he turns it off, probably.
Yeah. Thank you, loyal listener.
I appreciate it. Maybe it's someone awesome. Maybe it's Robert, huh? Things have been pretty rough. I gotta be honest. So
yeah,
yeah. My wife had a heart attack. So, but she's alive. So, you know, bad, but ended up good.
Sure.
So there's that, huh?
Maybe bad ended up okay. It's fine. I mean, goodness.
Yeah, but we're doing okay. We're doing okay. Yeah. So, things could have gone much worse. So,
of course.
Yeah. So, you know.
Anyway, you this week we're doing the top 10 movies about heart attacks.
No.
That would be dumb.
That would be wild.
Plus, I don't think.
What a coincidence. There's that one about a heart transplant where, like, Bob Hoskins gets Denzel Washington's heart. Do you remember that?
Oh, God.
Is that called Have a Heart? Is that what that's called?
Maybe.
Superman, that would be number... Huh?
Superman? Oh, well, yeah, he does.
Jonathan Kent, yeah.
Dies of a heart attack. Yeah. Okay.
Let's get off this. Anyway, we are doing, this week, our top 10 Marvel movies that are not MCU movies.
Mm-hmm. And why are we doing this?
Well, there's different reasons. So we mentioned a while back, the both of us have really gotten into, toy collecting.
Yeah.
In the last year or so. Mm-hmm. And, here lately I've been kind of obsessed with the sort of larger, size Marvel Legends, mm-hmm. the deluxe ones, the more monster, I don't know, sort of. Anyway. I just recently got a really giant Hulk, and as a result, I started watching Hulk movies, and then I started watching X-Men movies. I showed my daughter the X-Men movies, which has gone really well. So,
yeah,
that's basically why I wanted to do this list.
I watched some X-Men movies.
Yeah,
because we were going to do this, and my wife's a big fan of the X-Men movies.
Is she?
Yeah.
Has she seen the last two X-Men movies?
We watched Apocalypse.
Apocalypse? How did that go?
Not well. We went to the theater and watched that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah. We'd never watched Dark Phoenix.
Oh, did you watch it?
I've never seen
it. Oh, yeah, you're better off. Really.
I mean, I hear just nothing but terrible things about
it. It's not good. Have you seen
the same way I've never seen the Fantastic Four Miles Teller movie.
Oh, boy. You should watch that. We should get together and watch that one.
I mean, I will, but...
It will not be appearing on this list.
Right.
Though, there are some very good Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Turns out. So, I'm excited about a lot of these properties coming into the MCU.
Sure. Like?
The X-Men, for instance. And the Fantastic Four, which they're hinting at, they've been teasing for a while. So, yeah. So,
why do you think they're teasing Fantastic Four so hard over X-Men?
Well, I don't think they have an X-Men property ready, first of all. And
yeah, but I mean, it's, you know. They're not teasing Fantastic Four for another three years or so.
I think it's complicated. I think, first of all, they're sort of keeping the X-Men universe alive, but only with Deadpool.
Yeah.
Because they're reportedly going to keep making Deadpool movies. I read this week that possibly Hugh Jackman's going to come back for Deadpool 3, or he wants to.
Of course,
which is wild.
Do you think it's because there's never been a good Fantastic Four movie that the bar is low enough to?
Yes, and I think Marvel is like, we're going to do this. Also, they haven't announced an Avengers movie for Phase 4, so essentially,
I'm starting to think that they're not going to.
Right. I have a theory that Fantastic Four is going to be the Avengers movie for Phase 4. So
that it's basically Fantastic Four is the new
Avengers. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you just got those guys and X-Men.
Yeah.
I mean, you should roll with that probably.
Yeah, for a while anyway.
Plus they're going real interstellar with, not interstellar, but you know, galactic.
Yeah. Yeah. So God, if you introduce Galactus and then roll into a an Avengers movie.
Yeah, like a Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The universe is still wide open, so.
We're already talking about stuff.
Yeah, okay. So, well, let's go into our favorite thing of the week first. We'll change gears a little bit. We'll go into our favorite thing of the week, and then we will do our top 10 non-MCU Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. And then I think for our versus this week, we're going to do the 5 best non-MCU Marvel movies versus the 5 worst MCU movies.
Yeah.
Because I figured if we did the 5 best MCU movies, that's going to be kind of a slaughter.
I don't know if it's a slaughter, but I think it's a win for MCU.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I think the best 5 non-MCU Marvel movies are still really good.
Yeah.
And could hold their own, but I think it's, you know, it's probably a loss.
Right.
But anyway, we'll get into that.
What would be interesting is talking about the worst non-MCU.
No, that wouldn't be interesting at all.
Yeah.
That is a slaughter.
Yeah. All right.
Talking about the Fantastic Four.
Oof. There's some bad ones. All right. So first up, let's do our favorite thing of the week.
Favorite thing of the week.
Favorite thing of the week / favorite thing of the past 2 months.
Whatever you want to do. You've got to have been watching something, right, in the last 2 months?
Not really.
No?
No, I haven't had to.
Okay.
I don't have to do anything.
Wow.
Actually, I've been reading a lot.
That's cool.
That sounds really pretentious. I'm more of a reader.
Actually, yeah.
But
you're on the wrong podcast, buddy.
No, I'm going to make it that podcast.
Yeah.
I reread The Stand. I figured I got both vaccines, so I feel good now.
Sure.
I can read the Stephen King book about a plague. So that was nice. Which I highly recommend. I don't know if you've ever read The Stand.
I have never read The Stand.
It's very good. It's like my second favorite Stephen King book.
Wow. What's your favorite? Is it your first one?
It's my first one.
Sure.
Ask me what the rest of them are.
Please do it. Let's do a top 5 right now. Top 5.
No, I also read a Grady Hendrix book that I haven't read yet. I don't know if you know who Grady Hendrix is, possibly. He wrote Southern Book Club Guide to Vampire Hunting and My Best Friend's Exorcism.
Oh, yeah.
That I've talked about on the podcast before.
Yes, I have heard about those books, yes.
Anyway, this one's called We Sold Our Souls, and it's about selling your soul as a rock musician, and it's really, really good. I highly recommend it. It's an easy read.
Okay. So
get to it. Now I'm reading a book called The Man from the Train, which is a nonfiction true crime book by the author Bill James. I don't know if you know who Bill James is. He's the guy who basically invented sabermetrics in baseball.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he basically figured, him and his daughter figured out who the famous like axe murderer from the early 20th century was. Mm-hmm. The guy who did like the Villisca axe murder and all those good things. It's a fun read. Just kidding. but the one thing I have been watching is Handmaid's Tale. My wife is making me watch that.
Sure. How's that going?
Season 4 has just started. It's, I know we say this is our favorite thing of the week, but it's a hard thing to watch. Honestly, it's, it's not a lot of fun. it's very torturous. One time while we were watching a movie called The Patriot, you looked at me and said, at what point does it become futile for Mel Gibson to get any, you know, any sense of vengeance?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's had so much horrible stuff done to him.
Right.
Like so many sons.
There's no way for those scales to equal. Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing with Handmaid's Tale. I looked at my wife and was like, there's nothing that the protagonist in this movie could do or show could do to get any measure of revenge.
Right.
Because so much horrible stuff has happened. It's, gosh, it's rough. Really well made, well acted, but god damn, it's hard. I'm not going to spoil anything, so I won't even tell you names of characters that are still alive, but if you haven't watched it or have any interest, but it's a grind.
Sounds great.
That I'll continue on.
I have skipped The Handmaid's Tale so far. My wife has no interest, first of all. So
I think your wife would like it, but maybe not right now.
Maybe not, yeah. There is a show that you watched that we haven't discussed yet.
What's it?
It is called The Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh my God. Did we miss the entire Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Our last podcast was right when Falcon and Winter Soldier started, I believe.
Maybe I made a mistake. We can't lose this fight. Steve gave you that shield for a reason. We have to end this now.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, it happened.
Sure.
And did you enjoy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think it was as good as WandaVision, but you know, is the consensus.
Sure. Sure.
That's not a hot take.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy it very much.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's got a, you know, it's more action-y than WandaVision was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think its bar was maybe a little lower, though it had some pretty lofty goals as far as like talking about race and
it did
different thematic
patriotism. Element. What is patriotism? And stuff like that. Yeah, its bar was lower, but in a weird way, I feel like, you know, it's trying to figure out who the next Captain America is going to be.
Yeah.
Which is a bar that should be incredibly high.
Yeah. Turns out it was the Falcon.
Yeah. Well, sure. Spoilers. Which I mean, you know, you knew that.
Right. Yeah, I know. I think that costume at the end's pretty dope.
Yeah, that's a great costume.
Yeah.
Very toyetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I liked Winter Soldier's little arc that he had, and I thought that was fine.
Yeah, I think that's pretty great.
You know, I saw a lot of people complaining that, you know, just ends up back with Falcon in the end, but whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. It was fine.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, but the problem is that we've erased any room for fine in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Like we only have really good or that wasn't good.
sure.
So that annoys me, but anyway, it was fine, which is good.
I mean, television wise, WandaVision, as far as the MCU goes, WandaVision's the only thing that's really eclipsed it, you know, especially action wise. There's some really really terrific action. Zemo's an incredible villain.
Yeah, really great.
Yeah.
Daniel Brühl is fantastic.
Yeah. I like the John Walker character. You know, I mean, I don't like John Walker, but, you know, that arc is interesting.
Well, it's U.S. Agent. I mean, that's
yeah.
what that character is if you didn't introduce it. Then.
The fight that the three of them have with, you know, John Walker's Captain America and then Falcon and Bucky is awesome. That's a terrific fight.
Yeah.
And yeah, it, I mean, I thought it was overall just a very good show.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Thought it was just fine.
Just fine.
I mean, it was.
Yeah.
Just fine.
All right. You got anything else?
No, you. It's up to you now.
Okay.
It's all on you.
Sure. So I've been watching several things. I'm not going to go over everything, probably. I did want to mention that I watched Invincible.
Your power's got to be due any day now, son.
Morning.
I'm scared, Dad. What if I can't do this?
Follow me. Slow down. Land. I said land. Stop. Get up.
I'm actually getting used to this a little.
That's not good.
You need to be better. After everything he's done, how can I live up to all that?
You need to decide what kind of hero you want to be.
That was you, in the blue and the yellow.
Why don't you meet the team after school?
May we count on you in the future?
Yeah, I think so.
And bored of this.
Which is based on the comic by Robert Kirkman.
Of course.
It was a friend of ours. But yeah, the show is terrific. It's very, very violent. But that's in keeping with Robert's brand.
Sure.
In many ways. You know, it deals with a lot of gray area sort of thing in superhero comics, but it's a terrific adaptation of the book, I thought. Mm-hmm. And I really like how the art style is. It's very much in keeping with Corey Walker's original art on the book.
Which
so.
I believe, do you prefer?
Or do you Corey? No, I prefer Ryan Ottley's art later on, to be honest. It's more expressive, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, I love Ryan. I love Corey's art as well. So.
Sure.
There's some really, really great stuff. Corey was a lead designer on the show, too. So that makes sense. Cool. I've rarely seen a show be able to translate that sort of thing, though. I know with DC, they do a lot of adaptations of different books, and very often it throws the art style of those books like completely out the window.
Sure.
So it was really fun to see that on screen. It kind of reminded me, did you ever see The Amazing Screw-On Head? I think that's what it's called. It's a Mike Mignola adaptation. And the
I don't think I've ever watched it.
I think it was just a pilot, but it was like a cartoon, but it looked just like Mignola's art style. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really, really awesome. But anyway, highly recommend that show. I was watching, I'm halfway through season 2 of Warrior.
Secret war of yours? We're all going to suffer, Corey.
No, Jake. You're gonna wish you had killed me.
There's always tomorrow.
You're gonna tear apart Chinatown. You need to stop this.
I don't work for you.
You and me, we have some unfinished business to sign.
Any ideas?
Just the usual.
Which is on HBO Max. Which is a martial arts show. It's basically like if the old Kung Fu show had actually starred Bruce Lee and was on HBO. Or Cinemax, which is really what the show was on. But it's got amazing fights, including it's got Joe Taslim on the show. Taslim, who is Sub-Zero in the new Mortal Kombat movie. And he's incredible. But that show is super fun. And then I also watched this Mike Judge show, Tales from the Tour Bus.
You don't like country music, do you? You think it's horny and kind of twangy? Well, you could be right, but let's try to keep this positive. You ever hear the story of Billy Joe Shaver and Waylon Jennings?
I've heard about Waylon testing dope on Billy Joe.
They'd sit back and watch him for an hour to see how it affected him.
I was kind of a guinea pig, but I got a lot of free drugs.
The wild, crazy Jerry Lee Lewis.
He'd been up 2 or 3 days.
The third night, people were falling asleep, and they were saying, Jerry, we're just so tired, we can't stay awake.
He bought a machine gun. He shot up a demo lab next door, $50,000 worth of false teeth.
So everybody kind of woke up then.
Which is an animated show. It's kind of a documentary mm-hmm. of different musical acts from country in the first season and then funk in the second season. And what the animation does is allows them to take someone's anecdotes and, you know, make them, you know, come up in front of you. So it's really, really awesome. You get to see crazy stories about George Jones and Johnny Paycheck and James Brown and acts like that.
It's like Behind the Music if it was not inspirational.
Yeah, yeah. If they just did warts and all, right?
Yeah.
But it's super funny. The James Brown episode especially is hilarious. Or there's two episodes of those. That guy was on Angel Dust. I had no idea.
Sure.
Which is insane. Because yeah. It's like the lowest rent drug you can get on for some reason. That was his drug of choice.
I didn't know he liked to get wet.
Yeah, it's wild. Last thing I want to mention is Mayor of Easttown, which is the new HBO series.
The Easttown Police Department received a call reporting a dead body in Creedham Creek.
We've decided to bring in a county detective to assist with the case.
How do you like working with my mom so far?
We're just getting started out. Any tips?
Lower your expectations.
Should we do this outside?
No. All right. Let's go.
Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Mayor,
what's happening?
She knows what's happening, Tony. Okay. She knows. Mayor, all right, let's go.
Are you friends with these people?
Yeah.
Starring Kate Winslet. It's a murder mystery. It's very much in the vein of True Detective. But more, you know, she's like a small town cop. And there's these series of murders that she's investigating. And it's very slice of life, you know, as far as like the actual town that she's in. Mm-hmm. And on top of that.
I saw Alan Seth on the wall, like, say that it was reminding him of The Killing.
Yes, very much so.
Which I don't know if you ever watched that.
I watched a few episodes of it, but I prefer this. Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's whatever. I mean, Kate Winslet's terrific in it also. Sure. So, high recommendation.
All right.
You want to get into this?
Do you have anything else?
I think that's it.
And now our feature presentation.
I'm shocked by your number 10, though. I will off the bat say that.
You're shocked by my number 10? Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a specific reason. All right, so let's get in here. All right, here we go.
So we're doing the non-Marvel Cinematic Universe Marvel movies.
Yes.
So movies based on the Marvel brand, but not done under this new Marvel.
So the problem is that this list, when I first made it, was very, very heavy in X-Men movies. X-Men and Spider-Man movies, because frankly that's the most movies, right? Are there 10 X-Men movies? There's at least 9.
I think there's just 9. Well, okay. No, Logan makes it 10, I think.
Yeah. So there's a lot of X-Men movies. And there are 6 Spider-Man movies that are non-MCU. So the list was just super heavy on that. So I wanted to take out one of those movies and add in a bit of a wild card, right?
Which, I mean, is a Spider-Man movie, really? I mean, it's
sort of. Here's the other factor. You hate Ang Lee's Hulk.
I do.
and yeah. would not want to include it. Right?
Yes.
That's yes. True. Yes. So there are no good Fantastic Four movies.
Right.
There are two Daredevil and Elektra movies. Right. They are both right. bad.
They are.
Two bad Ghost Rider movies. So like
that first Ghost Rider movie is something else. It's not it's neither bad nor good. It exists out of its own space and time.
Sure, sure.
But yeah.
The second one is sort of...
I don't think I've ever seen the second one.
Oh, man. It's crazy. Yeah. But not crazy enough. There's one really awesome mega acting Nicolas Cage scene in that second one. But there's not enough of it.
Sure. Would Mandy count as a...
Mandy? I don't think so. I don't think so. All right. All right, let's do this. At number 10, like I said, I wanted a bit of a wild card, so we put Venom in there.
We cannot just eat people.
The way I see it, we can do whatever we want.
Is there something you want to tell me?
Nope.
Cooperate, and you just might survive.
Mm-hmm. Which is the 2018 Ruben Fleischer film. Oddly enough, the Venom 2 trailer came out today. Mm-hmm. Which I think is going to lean into the things that I sort of liked about this Venom movie. Here was my big surprise with Venom. I didn't hate it.
That is a big surprise.
I did not hate it, yeah. So
I didn't think you'd hate the movie.
Yeah. I kind of expected to for some reason. I don't know why.
It's very lukewarm to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a lot of the stuff in it are things about superhero movies that I don't like.
Okay.
Right? Like the Venom suit comes, or the symbiote comes to Earth, or I'm sorry, what's her name? Keep calling it the... Symbiote,
yeah.
Suit comes. God, I just did that, didn't I? I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Oh fuck! Why would anybody care what it's actually called?
Symbiote.
But it comes to Earth and it, like, you know, it's a bad guy and blah blah and uh-huh. all that stuff, and it's fine. This movie is only good because Tom Hardy is so good.
Yeah, Tom Hardy. You get a full on crazy ass Tom Hardy performance in this movie. Mm-hmm.
That's what makes this movie watchable to me.
He is fully committed to acting insane, and I love it. I love those aspects of it. He made me laugh. I think once the symbiote, he's crazy before the symbiote shows up.
Yeah.
And then once the symbiote, you know, infects his body, it kind of becomes a full-on buddy comedy. Where the symbiote's trying to kill people and he's trying to stop them. And I don't know, those aspects of it made me laugh. And yeah,
it reminds me very much of what a 90s action movie is. It's very, yeah. very effects heavy.
It is very effects heavy.
You know, it was like the first time I watched a racer or something.
Now you watch two symbiotes fight each other at the end, and it's mm-hmm. just kind of two blobs going at it. Like they're yeah. just kind of, there's not, but I do think the action in the middle of the movie where he's escaping the guards and the symbiote keeps throwing out spikes and that sort of thing.
I do think the effects look good.
Yeah.
They're just like, God, like, you know, a guy was on a computer for most of this.
Sure.
Which I have no problem with, but I mean, when it's the two blobs fighting each other, it becomes very...
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
No, I get that. Here's the other thing. There's not many Hulk movies, and I don't know, there was this sort of was kind of in the same vein for me when I watched it. I don't know. Like, it was a superhero movie, but a monster movie. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed those aspects.
Well, here's my incredibly nerdy... take, right?
Uh-huh.
My fanboy bullshit is this was made by Sony, who wanted to make a Spider-Man movie, so they made a Venom movie where he is basically Spider-Man.
Sure. Yeah. No, I get that.
Venom is an awesome bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, he is a great villain for Spider-Man. And if you can't do that, I guess this is the next best thing.
Or making him an anti-hero. But he's an anti-hero a lot of times in the comics, too.
Well, yeah, but the stuff he is known for.
Oh, sure. Is the villain.
He is a bad guy.
Yeah.
So.
Let me ask you, is this movie better than Spider-Man 3?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I hate Spider-Man 3.
Sure, sure.
So that's not fair.
Right. Spider-Man 3 not appearing on this list.
No, it's not.
Yeah. All right.
Do you have anything else to say about Venom?
No, like I said, I just found it amusing, and
it's fine. It's a fine number 10.
He gets in there. There are all kinds of movies we could have stuck in here at number 10 also. Mm-hmm. And we'll go over honorable mentions too, I'm sure.
The movie that was at number 10 is a better movie than this.
Yes, it is.
But that's okay.
But it also, there's another movie that's basically that movie.
But it's better.
Right? But it's better, right. So, all right, number 9. We have Blade.
You keep your eyes open. They're everywhere.
A secret nation of evil.
Tonight, the age of man comes to an end.
A war to save our world.
Blade, myself, killed as many of them as we can find.
A hero who knows no fear.
He makes the weapons. I use them.
Wesley Snipes. Stephen Dorff. Blade. Rated R. Starts Friday, August 21st.
Blade, 1998, Stephen Norrington, the first Blade movie, starring Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Blade, man. Like, yeah. You know, this movie's kind of important on a lot of levels just because Marvel movie, you know, it was the first successful Marvel movie. Live action Marvel movie.
Yeah. Plus it's good.
Yeah, it still holds up. I mean, I just watched it the other day. It kicks ass.
This movie has only, as I can see it, two problems. It's really good. For a long time, my pretentious self tried to say Blade was better than the sequel, which it's not.
Sure.
But the thing this movie has going for it is style. It looks cool. It's a cool world that they build.
Absolutely.
Kris Kristofferson is amazing. And Wesley Snipes was born to play Blade.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody, and I love who's Mahershala Ali. Is that who's playing?
Yeah, Mahershala Ali. Yeah, playing Blade.
He's going to be playing, which I love him, and I'm sure he's going to do a great job. He's never going to be Wesley Snipes as Blade.
Yeah,
nobody is.
Right.
I
mean, there are stories of Blade 3 that Patton Oswalt tells where everyone had to refer to him as Blade. Like, he was Blade.
You know, some motherfuckers are always trying
right.
to ask it.
There was a, you know, one of those Twitter things the other day where someone asked, like, what's the greatest performance of all time? I mean, part of me wanted to answer Wesley Snipes as Blade just because he's Blade. Like, and I'll stand by this. Man. He's closer to what I would picture Blade being than anyone has ever played Batman.
Yeah.
On screen.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. We won't get into that, but
yeah,
that's never been done actually right. comic book correctly.
Yeah.
That's been done movie correctly, which is fine. But comic book correctly, no, it's never been done. But it has with Blade. The problems with this movie come down to Stephen Dorff trying to rise up to Wesley Snipes' level.
Yeah.
And failing. And the CGI is rough.
The CGI is real bad.
And by the end of that movie, man, that CGI is rough.
Yeah.
But it makes up for it by Daniel Logue being so good. Or Donald Logue.
Yeah. I love Donald Logue in here. He's playing this redneck vampire.
Oh, he's so good.
So good, yeah. I would have watched a spinoff with just him. But
Kris Kristofferson.
Yeah, God, so that would have been amazing. Yeah. The fight choreography in this movie also.
That's great.
Yeah, totally holds up. You know, this was one of the first movies. You know, this movie predates The Matrix. So, like, it's got some really, really terrific choreography. It embraces that sort of Hong Kong style. There is a sequence where Wesley Snipes rips out the throat of one vampire and throws the remains at another vampire before he kills that one. And it's so awesome.
Here's my real problem with the movie is Stephen Dorff should have been a secondary character and the real villain should have been Udo Kier.
Yes. That would, yeah.
But
they, they had this sort of heroin chic sort of vampire they were going for.
I hate it.
Yeah.
It's, that's the thing I hate in this movie. When he puts on sunscreen and goes outside, I want to pull my hair out.
Yeah, it's it, that those aspects are very silly.
But it's okay. Yeah. I mean, because Wesley Snipes is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Number eight. Man, maybe I should have switched these two out. Oh, well. Number eight, I have
this Punisher. This movie is awesome.
Punisher Warzone by Alexei Alexander.
This deal is going down tonight.
Somebody has to punish the corrupt. On December 5th. Ray Stevenson is the Punisher. Punisher Warzone. This is just the beginning. Rated R. In theaters everywhere, December 5th.
Let me alleviate your fears. Punisher Warzone is awesome. Who played Ray? What's his name?
It is Ray Stevenson.
Stevenson, yeah.
Who plays the Punisher as a monster?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who plays the Punisher as, you know,
he's the Punisher. Supposed
to be played.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a mindless, like, fucking Frankenstein's monster, sort of.
I will say I am a fan of John Bernthal's MCU Punisher. Yeah, the TV guy. It's a great portrayal. It gives Frank, you know, a lot of layers. It's closer to the Max series that came out. This Punisher is closer to the Welcome Home Frank Punisher that just goes in and destroys everyone. It is unstoppable.
Which is what, like, that's what drives me crazy about the Thomas Jane Punisher.
Yeah.
Is they do a lot of that Welcome Home Frank stuff.
Yeah.
Right,
but like, it's not till like the very end.
Yeah,
yeah,
and this is like you waste it in there,
right?
And it's just so it could have worked so well in this.
Oh,
but I don't think she was going for a sense of humor in this movie either. So.
I don't know. It's pretty funny, like you know, just it's. I mean, it's a dark sense of humor, but you know, there's shit where like. You know, bad guys think they've won, and then they look down, and there's a fucking grenade on their foot, and that kind of stuff. And they, but you get that sigh first, like and then they die.
Well, there's a lot of that thing about the Thomas Jane Punisher, where it's like when he's pretending to torture a guy with a popsicle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And like this Punisher. Like Ray Stevenson's Punisher would have just used the blowtorch.
Right, exactly.
Which is what, you know, like what you would expect.
Yeah, the Punisher to do. There's some weird stuff in that Thomas Jane movie. Yeah. Weird stuff involving like fake fire hydrants and, you know, scoping out people and trying to be too mental, you know, just or cerebral about the violence in that movie where you just want to see the Punisher go in and kick ass. And it's really like, it's one versus 50 people at the end of this movie.
Yeah.
And he absolutely destroys them.
And yeah, it's a no contest.
Yeah.
This is the best Punisher followed closely by Dolph Lundgren.
No. Yeah. It was in consideration for this list.
Like I will never in my life before Blade.
Yeah.
I would make an argument that Dolph Lundgren's Punisher movie is the best MCU or Marvel movie.
Yeah. Or the first one.
I'll fight it. I'll fight for it. I love that movie.
It is a lot of fun. You know, that movie has gangsters versus ninjas, which is...
Hell yeah.
That's what you want to see, right? Junior, man. Yeah, man. Look, there's some fun stuff in there. That movie also, though, is like, we don't want to wear the skull. You know, like...
Well, yeah. Look, I mean... Like, I can make that argument for a lot of these movies, though.
Yeah.
The X-Men movies, like, you know.
Sure, sure.
You know.
Agree.
Spider-Man was the only one that... And then more good, like, they had to.
You right. Yeah, there was no getting around it. There was no getting around
it. All right. Well, speaking of.
Uh-huh.
I set you up there.
Sure. Number 7, we have Sam Raimi's original Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You're changing. I went through exactly the same thing at your age on May 3rd.
Not exactly.
Suit up. With great power comes great responsibility. For the ultimate spin.
I
want to take you on a roller
coaster. Awesome!
Spider-Man.
You do too much. You're not Superman.
The biggest fucking deal for me when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, this you finally got a Spider-Man movie.
Oh, like I know. Yeah. And it was huge, man. This movie was huge. And I think there was this weird... The thing I really remember about this movie, too, is, you know, it was like post 9/11.
Yeah.
And like this came out the year after 9/11, right?
Yeah, they had to take out the...
The two towers thing.
Because they like spun some bad guys in a web between them.
But yeah, it was...
Can you believe how old this movie is? Can you fucking believe that?
Yeah, it's old.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's almost 20 years old. Which is crazy. Now, the CGI in it at times. It looks like it's 20 years old.
Yeah.
You
have a couple problems in this movie.
Oh, how do you feel about Tobey Maguire?
Tobey Maguire is fine. Mm-hmm. He's not the Spider-Man I love. From the comics,
right?
I don't know what to say, like without sounding pretentious, but he's.
Well, look, what is your relationship to Spider-Man? Like, how?
I mean, it's my Superman.
Yeah,
you know, Spider-Man was what I read
when you were a kid.
When I was a kid, like I was drawn to the misfits and the nerds at an early age, instead of like. You know, the superheroes.
Well, he's the flagship superhero of Marvel. Yeah.
And Tobey Maguire is like kind of a whiny version of the Spider-Man from the comics.
Yeah.
But he's still good. Like, I still like him, especially in the second one, which I think we'll be talking about later. But
yeah,
when the movie's not good, he becomes glaringly bad.
Right.
Which I think is a problem, because like you take an Andrew Garfield, who never got to make a great Spider-Man movie, but he is still a really good version of Spider-Man.
Yeah. So let me ask you, does this movie become better if Andrew Garfield's in it instead of Tobey Maguire?
Maybe. It definitely ages better in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because there are things about the Tobey Maguire performance that are rough. It works in like a scene in like Spider-Man 2, the train scene,
right?
Where you have he's very sympathetic.
Yeah,
I think Andrew Garfield is as well, but
yeah,
that's okay. But you know, he is what he is. You know, you could see Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man becoming like the Peter B. Parker in Spider-Man Into the Multiverse.
Yes.
You could see them like losing his way pretty easily. So I guess in that point of view, like, you know, that's an interesting take, but it's not I wouldn't have made my first franchise surrounded by
Tobey Maguire.
And I wouldn't, I mean, Sam Raimi too.
Right.
Like, I love Sam Raimi, but he's not what I would have thought of when I thought of Spider-Man. Mm.
But it turns out also he's got that love though.
Yeah, he
the love for Spider-Man just shines through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it. But it's also like he's powerful enough to the point where if Spider-Man 3 is not working out and the studios get involved, he's gonna like tank it pretty hard. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Yeah, you want this in your movie? How about this?
Yeah.
Sure. I love Spider-Man though.
There's a weird following for Spider-Man 3 on online right now.
Well, there's always going to be.
I know.
You know, but it's people like discovering it now, who are like, "Oh man, that's funny. He dances. That's hilarious. Yeah. He's like emo." Yeah. It's not.
I've literally not seen that movie since the theater.
I fucking lived it. All right. It was not fun. We went in there wanting a really good movie and we didn't get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't have a fun time finding it like online.
Shout out. I do love the lady that plays Aunt May in this movie.
Yeah. The very definition of Aunt May.
Yeah.
Like, he nailed that.
Yeah.
That is great.
Did you see those costume tests for the Green Goblin that came up recently on Twitter?
Probably. I think I did.
It's these prosthetic tests for like an actual like Green Goblin head that they didn't end up going with.
Yeah.
That are so much cooler than the mask that they put him in.
That has, as far as Spider-Man, the original one, that's the thing I've always hated the most.
Right.
Is his, the Green Goblin costume.
They cast the perfect person. Like, they cast Willem Dafoe, who looks like the Green Goblin in real life,
yes,
and then put a Green Goblin mask on him that didn't move.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself. But anyway, but yeah, they like when he is giving his big monologue to the fallen Spider-Man, it is the most ridiculous looking thing in the world.
Yeah, right.
That face not moving, and he's like, the rest of his body is moving, but the face is like, you know. There's no emoting there.
The best moment he gets is at the very end.
Yeah,
when he takes the mask off and that he gets that like Godspeed Spider-Man, like that, like that moment of evil. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that's what you've been waiting for the whole movie.
Yeah.
Also, he's got those weird like speeches to himself in the mirror. And
oh yeah. Well, they did. Yeah. That is bizarre.
Yeah. Spider-Man.
I mean, but it's still good.
Yeah, no, you know, you still love Spider-Man mm-hmm. in this movie. And then my biggest problem is Maguire can't deliver a quip.
That is the problem with Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, he can't.
When he delivers a quip, it comes off as like almost whining.
Yeah.
Like he's very whiny. But we can talk about him more in a little
bit. Sure. Do you like Kirsten Dunst though?
Yes.
Yeah, I think she's pretty great.
I love Kirsten Dunst is like one of the highlights of these movies.
Yeah.
The first two.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Number 6, X-Men Days of Future Past. I'm going to put the Rogue cut on here.
The world is on the edge of extinction.
It's good to take all of us,
the X-Men,
to end this war.
It's good to see everyone.
Let's go.
Everything that happens now is in our hands.
I'm a princess. What are you?
I'm the Wolverine.
X-Men Days of Future Past, rated PG-13, in really 3D and large format theaters.
Which is 15 minutes or 17 minutes longer.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. I'm looking at an older list.
Yeah. Okay. I love this movie. This is basically, I think, for the X-Men franchise, is basically their Avengers. It combined the younger cast from First Class and then the original X-Men cast.
Yeah.
And I think it pulls it off. I think I wish it had a better finale. They introduce the Sentinels and the Sentinels kind of stand there and they shoot, but they don't like, it's not like a super fun action sequence at the end. Yeah. But other than that, man, I think there's some really, really great stuff in this.
I've watched this for the first time 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the first time, but for the first
first time in a long time. Theater. Yeah.
I have a few quibbles.
Okay.
you know, nerdy kind of nitpicking things. Overall, I think it's really good. It's definitely the best of like the post post like first couple X-Men movies.
Yeah.
I think this one is better than First Class, better than obviously better than any of the newer ones.
Yeah.
We won't get into the just Wolverine movies yet, but
sure.
You know, it is what it is. A few quibbles. I don't have a love for time travel.
Right. Okay.
And I think that the ending of the movie is really confusing.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, which, you know, you can poke holes in. It is a comic book movie. You know,
sure.
The Sentinels for me, are too sleek. I think
The future signals.
Well, definitely the future ones.
Uh-huh.
I get what they're doing, obviously.
Yeah.
But they are, you know, that. But I even think like for like the 1970s, like those Sentinels look just too futuristic. I think it would be funner if they looked more like the comic book version Sentinels at the time. But whatever. They're still, you know, Sentinels.
Right.
I do have an issue with the ending, you know, with just like the standoff and everything. But what I do love about the movie is the mixing of the two casts. Hugh Jackman being with James McAvoy and
yeah. Michael
Fassbender is fantastic.
So great.
Quicksilver's great, obviously.
Yeah.
Could have used more of Quicksilver.
Right?
To be honest.
The Quicksilver sequence in this is the best super speed sequence in any movie ever.
Yeah. At the end of the day, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine is the iconic Wolverine, right?
Yeah.
I still have minor quibbles. He's, you know,
sure.
Hey, Stu. Just kidding. But the fact that you put him in the 70s and it's before Weapon X,
yeah,
kind of diminishes it a little bit. Like, I've never wanted a whole movie where his claws are or bone.
Sure.
Never needed
that. The gag through the metal detector at the end is funny.
That's funny, but it also puts him, you know, Wolverine can't be Wolverine, really. So,
right.
That's kind of cool.
Well, he's had a huge advantage.
Yeah, the Striker stuff is fun too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I like the movie a lot. I think it's probably the third best X-Men movie in my opinion. So.
Sure. Which is that's why it's here. I mean, there's some really really cool stuff in this movie. Here's the thing: is that at some point they decided to make the most major character in the X-Men universe Mystique. And yeah. I realize it's because they cast
Jennifer Lawrence, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. At the other, they saddle her with some really bad dialogue in both the big Mystique movies, right?
Yeah.
They saddle some really bad dialogue onto her. It's worse in First Class than it is in this movie. But yeah, man, every time she says mutant and proud, I'm just like,
The whole Mystique thing in this movie is confusing.
Right.
Like, she never has a real point of turning. She just happens to finally break. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she comes out and then confronts Magneto as Richard Nixon, and like, you don't really know why. Like, why doesn't she just go ahead and do her? Like, she wants to kill Trask.
Yeah.
Why doesn't she just go ahead and do that?
The biggest crime of this series is they end up, because this movie, I think, is in a really good place at the end of it. And then this franchise completely wastes momentum they have. Yeah. Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix are both terrible.
I said that to Jamie. I'm like, this is like, what? I don't even know. Like the bad thing is, like, my complaints about what happens to Wolverine is how, you know, does Wolverine just wake up one day and he's like, I've been living this life, but now I remember everything, even though they fished me out of the fucking lake and or ocean.
Right.
You know, and
also, anyway. Yeah, like, so at the end, right, that turns out to be Mystique as Stryker.
Yeah. You have no fucking idea.
Yeah, but in the next movie, they do the fucking Weapon X thing anyway.
Yeah.
That sequence is awesome. In confusing. Yeah.
Excuse me.
They waste such a good cast, though. The biggest crime of this series is they waste Michael Fassbender, like, after this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah.
such a good Magneto. Like, he's terrific.
Yeah.
I was showing these movies to my daughter, and we ended up skipping Last Stand, because I was like, I don't feel like watching Last Stand. And we skipped X-Men Origins Wolverine, right? Which you don't need to watch anyway.
Right. Well, you skipped the worst two.
Right. And then we didn't watch the last two, because this makes a great ending for the series. Like, if you just stop at Days of Future Past, this is a terrific series, and this is a like the the pinnacle of it.
Well, yeah, but the problem is that Mystique ending, right? Where you're like, sure. She's Stryker, and you're like, well, wait, I know he's Wolverine.
Yeah, yeah.
I know he has the adamantium. What happened there? Like,
but then you go back to the future, and like, you know, Jean's there, and everybody's happy, and it's like status quo. And
then the next movie, it's...
Right. But when you're watching it with your kid, this is terrific, because, like, first of all,
Jean's not dead anymore, right?
Right, and like, Rogue is Nova's favorite character, right? Okay. Watching the first two movies, she loves Rogue. And, you know, she's a little girl, and I get that, right? And at the end of Days of Future Past, Rogue's alive and with Bobby, and everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know, just... like I said... You don't even need to watch 3 if you watch this movie. Like, there's... Mm-hmm. You just... you see Jean die at the end of 2.
Yeah.
And then at the end of this, she comes back. And everybody's happy. Yeah. Works out.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
But there's a lot of momentum between First Class and this movie. And I do think this movie is a little better. Just because Wolverine's in it, basically. For an extended period of time. Uh-huh. And then,
well, you have your three most, you know, besides Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, you know, you wanted to see Jagman, Fassbender, and McAvoy.
Yeah. Together. All, yeah, do stuff together. Right.
Yeah.
And I like Ian McKellen gets a big action sequence at the end where they're fighting the Sentinels, and, you know, Storm gets one last show, and
Colossus keeps getting his ass kicked.
He sure does. Over and over again. Just
keep seeing Colossus die in this
movie. Over and over and over again.
Anyway, all right. Let's move on.
Moving on. Number 5. We're in the top 5 now. We have Logan.
Logan, I know who you are. It's time.
Logan, rated R.
So... We didn't include the Wolverine on this list.
Which was the original number 10.
You're right. And I think a lot of it is a lot of the same things get covered in Logan, and Logan is a better movie. Like, mm-hmm. I think overall.
I think that's fair, except there's no bears in this one.
No bears in this one and no ninjas, which is disappointing.
Yeah.
I hated that I had to... You know, throw off the big ninja movie on this list, but what are you going to do?
That's okay.
Logan, on the other hand, is an incredible send-off for Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
It's an interesting movie.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the superhero movie for people who don't like superhero movies.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
But I still love it. I think it's very good.
Mm-hmm. Did you rewatch it?
No, I haven't rewatched
it. You haven't rewatched it? Yeah. Yeah, it's terrific. It's kind of depressing. You know, I mean, death kind of permeates the whole movie. You know, it's sort of Unforgiven, like, which is what the book this is based off is, you know, going for too, to do like an Unforgiven for Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Patrick Stewart's really sad in this movie.
Yeah, it's a really raw performance.
He basically has Alzheimer's, I guess.
Yeah. He has seizures that like affect everyone around him.
Yeah.
Yeah, where he like locks everybody up and almost kills them. And yeah, that you're dealing with that the whole time and just getting old and all the mutants are dead except for them. Yeah, all that stuff is super sad. But man, Hugh Jackman's incredible in this movie. Like really, really incredible.
It has a really great ending.
Yeah.
Like that ending is awesome. I won't spoil it if you haven't seen it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And there's this little girl they're protecting that they're trying to get over the border who's basically X-23 in the comics.
Right. Little Wolverine.
Little Wolverine. Yeah. And yeah, it's almost like a Lone Wolf and Cub type movie where the government's trying to kill them and they're on the run. And it's this road movie. Yeah, I love it. I really, really love it.
I mean, you have every reason to. It's a really good movie. Like I said, if you don't like superhero movies, it's still really good.
Yeah.
It almost could be like A24.
Right. This is the only movie on this list that even sniffed Oscar consideration.
Yeah.
Like, as far as like maybe getting a Best Picture nomination or something like that. Mm-hmm. I do wish Jackman had gotten, I wish Patrick Stewart, that would have been the best thing if he'd gotten a Best Supporting Actor nomination.
That felt like it should have happened.
Yeah. What do you do?
But it's never going to, so it's okay. It doesn't matter.
All right, moving on. Number four, we have X2.
They told us to stay here.
You always do as you're told?
On May 2nd, it's X.
I'm driving.
Maybe next time. Two. The extreme.
You've got a talent, you have.
Somebody's angry.
Why are we getting uniforms?
We're on order. Should arrive in a few years.
Rated PG-13. May 2nd, only in theaters.
Yeah.
Another terrific.
It's like... X2 was such an important one, right?
Yeah.
Like, it showed that the sequel could be better.
Mm-hmm.
It showed that you can move forward. And it's just, you could introduce new characters and still do interesting things. And, I fucking love X2.
Man, X2 holds up. I just watched it again. I watched, like I said, I've been rewatching these. And I think X-Men holds up. For the most part. But this is just the same thing, but better, which is what a sequel should do.
X-Men, the original one, had that problem, right? Where it was like, I'm scared of being a comic book movie. A little bit.
Well, and then this Tom Rothman, who was the head of Fox at the time, like slashed the budget at the last minute. And the end of the movie is this big blob thing that's coming after people. Right. And you're just like, that's not
right.
But the characters were cool. That's what was fun about it. Jackman was having fun as Wolverine. You'd never even seen Hugh Jackman before. And Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen are perfect. So, and then everybody comes back for the second one. You add Alan Cumming as Nightcrawler, who Nova absolutely loved Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
And he's awesome. And everybody just gets more to do in this movie.
The opening and ending of this movie are wonderful.
Yeah, phenomenal. Yeah.
Like, I find the opening very kind of unsettling, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's scary enough without being scary. It's interesting that, you see a new, like, character right away. That's always fun.
Yeah.
And then the end is, like, kind of iconic. You lose Jean, but you have, like, this victorious moment where, like, they invade the White House and I really fucking love it.
They're kind of doing Star Trek too in a way, like, because Gene's end at the end of this is very similar to Spock's end at the end of Wrath of Khan. Mm-hmm. And Brian Singer's on record being a huge Star Trek fan anyway. And like, this is doing that same thing where the first movie is okay, but you're just happy to see the characters, right? And in the second movie, he just gives you this action spectacular.
Is this the first time we've said his name?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I know. I know.
See, that's the problem with these movies, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
This new world that we live in,
right?
This better world that we live in, doesn't want these movies to exist, really.
Yeah.
In a way.
Right. Because a bad person made them. Yeah.
Yeah.
The shitty thing is, too, he made a terrific movie in this one that where mutation is a good stand in for gay rights.
Yeah, absolutely. But it just happened that he was a piece of shit.
Yeah. He's just a terrible person. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like it is very much a gay rights movie.
Yeah.
I think. And you feel it trying to be something more than just an action movie, which is cool.
Yeah. But this movie also has its action bona fides. That's the thing. Yeah, like
the Wolverine versus Lady Deathstrike
fight is awesome. Fight
is awesome.
Where he goes full on berserker at the beginning of the movie where the soldiers bust into.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this movie.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's still
this is the only change on this list is I requested X2 be higher.
yeah.
And I just think it's great. Like I really love it. Like it's the closest I feel like that any of the X-Men movies ever came to being like an X-Men comic book where you had all of them as a team doing a mission.
Yeah.
Like together, you know, and not just like a stealthy thing or something like that. It's a full-on action.
Well, you still get the soap opera stuff from X-Men too, because you've got the kid, the teenagers that are all in love with each other.
Yeah,
you know, and there's all those aspects too. And yeah, it's just too bad this. You know, I mean, the franchise fell apart for a little bit after this because X3 is terrible, and then X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Singer wanted to make his Superman movie, and
which ended up not being great.
Fell apart.
Yeah. There's an alternate universe where X3 is better than this one, and you know, then they're off to the races with X-Men movies.
Then the MCU doesn't exist, does it?
I don't know. Maybe it does.
Not like this, though.
Probably not.
Yeah. I don't know, though. Anyway.
All right.
Next.
Next up, we have got number 3, Spider-Man 2.
I believe there's a hero in all of us, even though sometimes we have to give up the thing we want the most.
First, we'll see who's behind the mask.
Story continues June 30th, rated PG-13.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I think
all the things we said about,
go ahead.
I think all the things we said about X2 being, you know, like the first movie but better is what Spider-Man 2 is to Spider-Man.
I think Spider-Man 2 for a long time, I would have considered it the best comic book movie of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know obviously Superman, things like that, Batman, but I just think there's never been, until recently, until obviously the MCU,
right,
a movie where you had a really talented director, a really exciting superhero in Spider-Man, and a really great villain in Dr. Octopus.
Yeah.
Like all three happening at the same time. And this is as good as it got for a long time. For
me. Yeah.
Like the Doc Ock is just fantastic.
Well, he's just Doc Ock. Like he's what Doc Ock should be on the page. That's what he is in this movie. Because before this, there's always been some sort of weird compromise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up to this point, like, you know, look, I love Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor, but
he's not Lex Luthor,
right? Well, you know, like,
he
won't even be bald. You know what I mean? Like, you know, X-Men movies are what they are. Like X2's cool, but Lady Deathstrike isn't what she is on the page.
No, Magneto's not what he is.
Yeah, exactly.
In the comic book.
Right.
Right. This is the first time a villain has been... Like take Batman. 1989 Batman.
Right.
Jack Nicholson's Joker is cool. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, but that's not the classic Joker.
Right.
He's just Jack Nicholson.
Right.
With face paint.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is Dr. Octopus. He's Otto Octavius. It's something. Like, as much as it's hard to see Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man.
Right.
Seeing Anthony...
Molina. Yeah.
Alfred Molina. As Dr. Octopus is like magic.
Yeah.
Like that. There's no one else that could do it like that.
Yeah. Are you excited that he's coming back for Spider-Man 3?
Yes. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean Spider-Man No Way Home.
Right. No Way Home. Yeah. The new Spider-Man movie in the MCU. He's going to be in it as Dr. Octopus. Did you read that interview with him?
Yeah.
We're saying that it's going to start. Like, his character in that movie is going to start immediately after this movie.
Yeah, I love that he just basically was like, I'll tell you anything you want.
Yeah.
It was like Andrew Garfield is trying to play the game.
Yeah, right.
Everybody knows he's in that movie. He's like, I haven't gotten a call. Yeah, because your fucking agent probably got the call. Like, yeah. But anyway, do you have any thoughts on that? I think Mary Jane... The Mary Jane and Spider-Man thing in this movie is so goddamn good.
Yeah, it
like
is.
It might be the best romantic relationship in outside of maybe like Captain America.
Right. I cry at the end of this movie every time when she says, "Go get him, Tiger." Like it's it works so good.
Yeah.
I will say, man, this movie can be a tough sit. Just like. They just beat Peter to death. Like, just one bad thing after another. And then Aunt May, like, losing her home, you know, and has to move into an apartment. And you're just like, oh, like, it's Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man. Yeah.
It's always been the Spider-Man thing is like, for every good thing that's ever happened to me, like, three bad things have to happen.
Yeah.
First. That's him. Like, that's the character.
There's a moment. There's a moment with Rosemary Harris as May where at the beginning of the movie where Peter's like seen like a eviction notice, right? Or something like that from the bank. And she's trying to give him like $20 for his birthday and he doesn't want to take it. And she starts crying and she's like, "You take this money." And it's like, it's such a real moment.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's gut wrenching. And it's so good.
Then it doesn't work out because Dr. Octopus steals all the gold.
Sure. Oh, that. Okay. We'll move on from that. I will say you get full on Sam Raimi in this movie.
You do.
Full on Sam Raimi. And man, you know, the surgery sequence with just the tentacles or the octopus arms is crazy. Yeah. Like, I don't know why a doctor would have a chainsaw in the surgery, whatever, in the OR, but
it's not important.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you need a chainsaw.
Sure. But man, Sam Raimi was let off the leash in this movie and it shows. And that's why this movie is still great. The train sequence in this movie is still one of the best superhero sequences of all time.
Yeah, well, it's why they have been trying to recreate it in every Spider-Man movie since.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, I mean, them taking the mask off and he's just a kid.
Yeah.
You know, that's Spider-Man. That's the ethos of Spider-Man. He's not some super human person. He's an everyman.
So good.
That's why I love him. And that's why the next movie is so good.
Yeah. Number two, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
When do I know I'm Spider-Man?
This was never your city. It's mine.
You won't. In the end, it's a leap of faith.
Can't stop me now!
Hey, guys.
Who are you?
I'm Spider-Woman.
If we don't work together, none of us will have a home to go home to.
taught him that, right?
I didn't teach him that, and you definitely didn't.
Into the Spider-Verse, only in theaters December 14th.
Actual Oscar winner, so I guess what I said earlier doesn't matter.
Well,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful movie. I've loved so many of these Spider-Man movies, and I can say this one may be the best one. I just love it so much. And it's an animated film, which gives it advantages as far as its visuals. But it's so clever. Miles is a terrific character in this movie. The main character is, for the first time, not Peter Parker, but Miles Morales.
Right.
My only quibble with this movie is instead of Chris Pine playing Spider-Man at the beginning of this movie, I wish it was Tobey Maguire.
Right.
But that's about it, really.
I know why they didn't.
Sure.
But I get what you want. Look, this is I think this is kind of proof, even though I love the MCU Spider-Man movies, mm-hmm. right? This is kind of proof that, like, the best version of this particular character, Spider-Man, is probably always going to be something you can animate
or draw. Yeah.
Because there's just things that you got to, you know, he's got to be able to do that is just almost impossible to do in a live action movie.
Right.
You know, Miles Morales is he's wonderful. It what's wild is that this movie's villains are like, you know, you have Kingpin,
right?
You know, a classic Marvel villain, but he's not really like, you know, the main
sure,
you know, thing in this movie. It's so good though, like.
Everything's through the looking glass. You get a weird version of Doc Ock. You get a weird version of I don't think Goblin's in it for very much at all.
Right.
But man, there's some really, really awesome stuff in it.
Well, the thing that this movie gets to do is be weird, right?
Yeah.
And like you don't get to do that in any other type of Spider-Man movie. Like you get Spider-Ham.
Yeah. Right. And he's perfect.
Spider-Noir.
Yeah.
And everything's perfect. Like John Mulaney is Spider-Man. It's just so good.
Yeah. Jake Johnson.
Nick Cage is like Spider-Noir.
Jake Johnson playing a losery Peter B. Parker is so good.
Maybe the MVP of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like the scene where they're going in there and he sees Mary Jane. Is it Mary Jane?
Yeah, it's Mary Jane. Yeah.
Mary Jane. It's not Gwen, right?
Yeah, because in his universe, they've gotten a divorce.
Yeah, and he just like freezes and like loses it. It's like one of the greatest, like, funniest Spider-Man things to ever exist.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Miles. If you like Miles as a character, it's the perfect representation of him.
Right.
Cinematic.
You get to do other things. Like it's no longer Peter Parker.
Right.
It's fresh. So like you get to do other things.
Well, look, I was against, you know, the sort of notion of Miles when they first introduced him in the comics. But after reading the comics, but then you read those comics and you're like, oh wow. Like the only thing that I bristled against is it seemed like a cynical move, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll introduce a Black Spider-Man. And not like artistic, you know, like we'll just do it.
Natural.
Right.
It felt like it was generated.
Yeah. Let's do this. Yeah. Well, there's an algorithm to tell us we need to have a Black Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But yeah, you read those comics and they're incredible. And then this is incredible. And then I played the Miles Morales video game and it's heart-wrenching and wonderful. Like you love Miles. I love, I can't wait to see Miles in an MCU movie. I hope it happens.
That would be awesome.
I don't know who you cast, but I don't know who you cast, but man, like, yeah, the potential's there for something really, really great.
Yeah. I agree. Like, he's such a sympathetic, like character, and you get to do an origin story again.
Yeah.
Without it being like,
would just be, yeah, you don't get to see, you don't have to see Uncle Ben die again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to see terrific. Uncle.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right, good stuff. Our number good one stuff. Rum. My number one film.
It was only our... ever going to be.
It is Blade 2.
Last time he fought against his sworn enemies.
Stop!
This time he will fight with them.
We will bring you a truce.
To destroy a new breed of terror.
You want me to hunt them for you?
Calling all freaks.
Not know who you are
messing with!
Wesley Snipes. Blade 2. Bernard. Start Friday, March 22nd.
And I know some people are going to bristle at this, but
you said Brussels twice.
Brussels, yeah. People, look, I love this fucking movie. I have watched this movie more times than any other movie on this list. Mm-hmm. It still holds up in a lot of ways. Some of the CGI is a little janky now, and really was at the time when it came out.
It's been, well, it has the problem that the Matrix sequels have.
Yeah.
Where, like, they weren't ready to do the things they wanted to do.
Right.
But I fucking love this
movie. Holy shit, is this movie awesome.
Yeah. This is the coolest superhero movie ever.
Yeah.
There'll never be another superhero movie cooler than this one.
You're watching Blade do kung fu against vampires, and, like, and the sequences are so elaborate. There's a scene where he fights two ninja vampires at the end, at the beginning of this movie, and you're like, what? I mean, you're watching Blade fight ninja vampires. Like, that's awesome.
He suplexes the main bad guy.
Yeah. At the end, and then gives him an atomic elbow. Like, yeah. It's like, plus there's another sequence. Well, here's the big difference for me also, is that the vampires in this movie are monsters, and they're not just like,
yeah, like,
you know, cool
vampires. It's not Interview with a Vampire.
No, vampires. These are not Anne Rice vampires. These are monsters. Yeah. Like, they're like a xenomorph crossed with Nosferatu, right? Like, yeah. They're ugly and they're unstoppable and they're just so horrific. You know, their mouth looks like a vagina. It's this weird thing that's going on with, like, weird piercing. Also, this movie gave us the worst critical review of all time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without question.
Yeah.
Harry Knowles.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Disgusting. Anyway.
But it took like 20 more years to find out that guy was a creep, right?
We should have known the whole time.
Yeah. But, yeah, I agree with everything. It's Wesley Snipes is back in as cool as ever.
Yeah.
You have a team, this awesome fucking vampire team. Ron Perlman is amazing.
Yeah, Donnie Yen's on that team.
Donnie Yen, yeah.
Yeah. As a samurai wielding vampire. Like, well, samurai sword wielding vampire.
You have every version of something that's cool.
Yeah.
In that vampire team.
There's like an alien sort of like an aliens type attack where the vampires are attacking them in this cave.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You get cool kung fu fights. There's big monster villain. Cool, there's like the wrestling van, matches.
The van thing is one of the scariest things in a superhero movie ever. Is
oh, yeah.
The van attack where what's his name?
Norman Reedus. Yeah.
Norman Reedus.
It's stuck in a van. Yeah. And all the vampires are trying to kill him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't mentioned Guillermo del Toro yet.
Yeah. Like, he's great.
He's like the driving force. Like, I think this is maybe his second best movie, probably.
100%. This is my favorite Guillermo del Toro movie.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is he didn't write it. Like, this is a David Gore script. Yeah. And it's just a, you know, meat and potatoes monster kung fu movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is everything I would want in a cool superhero movie.
Absolutely.
I love it. Oh, I just love it so much. Like, this is, for me, pretty much as cool as anything in the MCU. That's just my own personal taste.
You know, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. I understand what Endgame is, right? Like, but man, there's some really fucking cool shit in this movie.
I mean, you're not wrong.
When Blade and the Blood Pack are walking into that fucking vampire nightclub, oh, and they're yeah. they're just like fucking, walking in slow motion, and Eye Against Eye is playing. Yeah, so good.
You're not wrong. All right. So you want to move on to our verses?
Let's do it.
The ultimate male. Woo! Versus. Oh, yeah! The ultimate meatball. You fight great, but I'm a great fighter.
Versus. All right, so our verses this week is we took the five best of these movies, Blade 2, Into the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man 2, X2, and Logan, versus the five worst MCU movies, which were Incredible Hulk, Thor, Iron Man 2, Thor the Dark World, and Avengers Age of Ultron. Which Avengers Age of Ultron we are calling the best of those movies.
Yeah, we were very lenient.
Yeah.
With our placement of these movies, I feel like.
There are some other movies. How do you feel about Doctor Strange? I don't know, like.
I love Doctor Strange.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't have put that in this list, right? I know some people hate Captain Marvel. I think Captain Marvel's better than.
That's foolish.
Yeah.
Look, both Ant-Man movies are great, I think.
The problem with making a top five worst list of the MCU is that they're so consistently great.
Look, this is, I think there's no question that these are the bottom five.
Right.
Like, and you'll have naysayers out there. People will always have their, you know, their favorites or the ones that didn't connect with them, what have you. I think this is consistently like the five, right?
Yeah. Definitely those four. Yeah. Incredible Hulk, the two Thors, and Iron Man 2. Those are definitely.
I think Age of Ultron is a malign movie for no reason.
Sure.
Other than it's Joss Whedon now, and there's, you know, he is what he is.
Well, do you think that Age of Ultron is better than Doctor Strange?
No.
No.
No, it'd be right below Dark, like something like
Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange. First Avenger was in consideration, but I love First Avenger. So
yeah, I can't put Captain America First Avenger below.
Yeah. Your wife's gonna be mad we put two Thor movies on this list, but
it just is what it is.
Yeah, I know. What do you do?
They you know.
All right. We'll start off. We took all this like I said, we ranked these 10 movies. So we'll start with number 10, The Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a big fan of this movie, right?
Not really.
Yeah.
I do think it's better than Ang Lee's version.
Sure.
But I also think that it's not as ambitious as Ang Lee.
It is not. It is very not.
So I can see why people would prefer Ang Lee.
Right.
They had no idea yet. Like, they didn't know what to do. They got lucky with the first Iron Man, and I think in this one, they just didn't know exactly what to do. I don't think Edward Norton wanted to be there. Liv Tyler's fine.
Well, the big thing is he was trying to take over the production too. Like he wasn't happy with the script or whatever, as I recall. And then they didn't want him back, which was a problem because they needed Hulk for Avengers. But that worked out. So.
Sure. I mean, if you put Ruffalo in this movie, maybe it's, you know.
Sure.
The problem is standalone Hulk movies often are just, you know.
Right. You need somebody else in there to team up with him.
Don't make him angry. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Hulk does well as a number two, right?
But, right. Yeah. The best Hulk movie is Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
That's the problem. You know what I mean? Like, he's awesome in that movie, but you also have Thor to bounce off of and. Mm-hmm. All right. Number 9, we have Thor.
The first one.
Yeah. You know, which is a okay movie. Like, people hate it. Like, people.
I certainly don't hate the movie. I think that's ridiculous to say you hate the movie.
Right.
Like, it's not bad. It's just not great. It's like I said earlier in the podcast, like, there's no room for fine.
right,
in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right. I think the building blocks are there for a good, like,
yeah,
for what turns out to be a great movie 2 movies later.
The only reason I think it's not as good as Dark World is I think Dark World plays a little more funnier.
Yeah.
With Thor. And this is more like...
Well, also, if, like, taking the MCU as a whole, this movie looks really cheap. Like,
he looks weird.
Right?
Thor looks weird.
Like, they give Hemsworth these, they've bleached out his eyebrows, which is very strange.
The whole thing is very weird.
Yeah, that's
he doesn't just... look great in Dark World, but it's miles better than this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Age of Ultron, honestly, is the first time he looked right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So these movies, man, I hesitate to say whether. Do you think Iron Man 2 is better than Thor the Dark World?
Iron Man 2 is kind of a mess.
Yeah.
At least Thor the Dark World's a consistent movie.
Right.
Iron Man 2 is like all over the place.
So officially, that's going to be our number 8. It just doesn't, like, here's the big problem. Oftentimes, the second movie in a franchise is the best movie. Like, Blade 2, X2, Spider-Man 2, like, oftentimes, because you already have those building blocks from the first movie, and then, you know, you just make a bigger adventure.
Well, look, yeah.
And Iron Man 2, I don't know what happened. Like,
I think
it's trying to tie in the MCU, maybe, which is the problem.
I think in a lot of ways, like, Favreau wasn't the director that they needed, right? Like, right. He was a good guy to get it started, because he is a good director, and, you know, ambitious and everything, but, like, I think he wanted to be his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
In that movie, and they also were like, "No, well, listen, we've got to throw Nick Fury in here,
right?
Black Widow's going to be in the movie, all this stuff, and it feels dysfunctional." And they cast Mickey Rourke,
right? Who's apparently an insane person.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they cut out a bunch of his part, though. But like the movie, also the biggest problem with it doesn't have an outstanding action sequence, like.
Well, you have the race car thing, but that's the problem. Is the outstanding action sequence got it spoiled?
Yeah, in the trailer,
like they showed like that all that whole sequence almost in that trailer, and that's the as good as it gets,
right?
And the finale is just a weird sort of been flying around.
This, I don't think this movie can touch Iron Man 3, personally.
No, not at all.
Yeah, like. This movie doesn't have anything as good as the free fall sequence in Iron Man 3, where he's trying to catch all those people. Yeah. That sequence is incredible. And yeah, there's just nothing here. Even at the end, the big fight seems pretty perfunctory. Like, it's him and Rhodey, and they just take out these guys in like, seems like 20 seconds, and then it's over.
They don't really have a problem.
No.
like, look. You know, Mickey Rourke's not that impressive in the end.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have two Iron Men.
Right.
Like, right there.
And the problem is, it's not a problem. Robert Downey Jr. is still good in this.
Sure.
They're trying, I think they were trying to do the Demon in the Bottle a little bit.
They tried to stuff that into half a movie.
Yeah.
It does not work.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
Cheadle comes on as Rhodey, and he's having fun. He's good. There are things like, obviously I love Rhodey. I think what's his face is really fun is Justin Hammer.
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, Rockwell's great. I would like to see him come back in a better movie.
Yeah, he got screwed.
Yeah.
Shane Black with that Sam Rockwell character would have been
holy more. Shit. Yeah, that would have been incredible. Mm. All right, moving on. Thor the Dark World.
Yeah, the biggest problem with this movie is you don't have a interesting villain, really.
Right.
Maybe not maybe interesting looking, even. Like,
The
elves, the dark elves, just look stupid.
Sure.
Like, there's issues all over the place there.
I think they wanted to do, like, a Star Wars type movie. Because there's a lot of fantasy and science fiction in this film. There are some cool action sequences. But, yeah. This is the first... Yeah. You know, it's like, this one's post-Avengers. So it's a little bit of a letdown. You know, just like, I didn't feel like Iron Man 3 after Avengers, immediately after, was like a huge letdown. You're like, okay, I can see why they're still going and making these movies. Thor the Dark World was less so. Still fun. He's really growing into it at that point. I think Hemsworth is really good in this movie.
Yeah, and there's a couple of sequences where you can see him like finding his way. Like when he goes into Darcy's apartment and like puts the Mjolnir on the coat hook and
just
leaves it there. And yeah.
That's fun. Hiddleston's great.
Kat Dennings is really good in this movie.
Yeah. There are things. There are a lot of things to like about this movie still.
That you can tell Natalie Portman doesn't want to necessarily be there.
Sure. Christopher Eccleston really gets the short shit. All right, moving on. All right, next up we got Logan, which we just talked about.
Right.
X2, which we just talked about. And then we have, at number 4, Avengers Age of Ultron.
We're being kind here.
Sure.
I feel like.
So you feel like X2 and Logan are both better? Oof. That would be a weird split too, like just all of the MCU movies, and the, I get it.
Look, I rewatched Age of Ultron recently. It's good.
There's some really good stuff there. Yeah.
There's some stuff that's not great. Like Quicksilver, I find is a character he doesn't even exist in the same universe as other people.
It didn't help either. It didn't help either. We saw Quicksilver in Days of Future Past, and
be awesome.
That version of it is terrific. Less comic accurate, but more fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the speed sequences in this one just aren't as impressive. And you get the Hulkbuster sequence, which is awesome.
Well, that's iconic. Yeah.
I love the party at the beginning. I love the Avengers just hanging out.
That's the best part of the movie. What's wild is how important this movie is to the mythos of the entire MCU.
Like
first three waves, right? Like this thing sets up all of the Infinity stuff.
Right.
Like in the end. And it's just weird because no one really remembers this movie.
Well, this is the only one where they're the Avengers at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no setup. They're already a team and they're doing a mission.
Yeah.
Like I feel like we should have gotten three of these type of movies
before the breakup.
The breakup. Like they're already broken up and Civil War is right after this, which is awesome. I love Civil War, but.
Well, here's the problem though. It's like we brag on Marvel because they're like, they built up to blah, 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 blah. But really they needed like 5 or 6 more years of like build.
Yeah.
Right. But you can't do that.
Right. No, they struck while the iron's hot. Like you got 10 good years out of basically a giant franchise.
Yeah. And in its defense, I think Ultron is really good in this movie. I think James Spader is really good.
He's super fun. God, that sequence says you sound Andy Serkis, his claw or whatever. Yeah. It's like, that's something Tony Stark would say. Like, and he gets pissed.
Yeah.
That stuff's great. And there's some fun action sequences. The big battle at the end is just really fun.
I think the highway chase where they're trying to, secure Vision's body or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is very good.
Yeah. Also, Vision. You get Vision. Yeah. That moment where he picks up Mjolnir is. Incredible. All right. Number 3, Spider-Man 2. And then we had Into the Spider-Verse 2 and then Blade 2. Right. So this came out to 38-17 in favor of the non MCU films.
Well, the problem is you've got the best of something versus the worst of something. Right?
Sure, Sure. It's hard to find a happy medium. I don't know. Maybe there's some formula we could come up with where we could have done these, you know, these non-MCU movies versus, you know, the Captain Marvels and Doctor Stranges of the MCU. Yeah, all right. So for the individual matchups, I did Men on the Run with Logan versus the Incredible Hulk. Obviously, Logan's a better one there. Yes. X2 versus Age of Ultron.
That's tight.
Yeah.
I lean X2.
Okay.
But all right. I don't know.
No, that's fine. I
could be convinced either
way. Yeah. X2 then. That's 2-0. Spider-Man 2 versus Iron Man 2. Blade 2 versus Thor 2. Right. And then Into the Universe versus Thor, which are those were the only
outliers.
No. Yeah. Well, actually they were the both those movies were origin stories. So
okay.
I was able to do that. But yeah, that's a 5-0. So
maybe we should have gave Age of Ultron.
Yeah. Let me ask you, do you have any honorable mentions for the non-MCU movies?
You know, like I said, I love the original Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm a big... First Class is good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good movie.
I prefer the Wolverine to First Class. I think the Wolverine
is better.
I think it's got some really cool stuff in it. Yeah.
The Wolverine is like... It's about as close to the comic version of Wolverine as you can get.
Yeah.
That era.
I wish you'd gotten more movies in that, like him fighting it, like smaller. It's a smaller scale movie. And I like that about it. And yeah, it's just fun to watch him beat up ninjas. And then he fights Silver Samurai at the end. Like that's cool shit.
I really like, well, of course the original X-Men.
Yeah.
Movies. Super important.
How do you feel about the Deadpool movie, Sean?
You know how I feel about the Deadpool movies. I'm not that snarky.
Some people are going to be mad that we didn't include them on this list. But
I do not care. You know.
Do you prefer, which of the Deadpool movies do you prefer?
I like Deadpool 2 more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just don't like the wink wink.
Yeah, there's a moment in Deadpool 2 where he's complaining there aren't enough X-Men in the movie, like genuine X-Men, and then you look over and there's like a room full of them, and it's the new cast, right? It's McAvoy and all of them, and they're just like, they quickly like close the door on it.
Yeah.
Which is a funny gag.
I like some of the new people in Deadpool 2. Domino.
Yeah, you do get Cable. To watch Juggernaut fight Colossus in that movie.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty cool fight, actually. So,
There is a great like X-Force moment where they all jump out of the they jump out of an airplane.
Yeah.
And, like, they all just die.
Yeah. That shit's awesome. But anyway. I will say I'm a bigger fan of Ang Lee's Hulk than you. It's still too weird. It's just too weird. But I think Banner's pretty good in it. There is a alternate universe where Sam Elliott is Thunderbolt Ross in the MCU, and I think he's awesome.
That would have been great. I don't hate what's his name as Thunderbolt Ross, though.
Yeah. Oh no, I don't hate him either. I think he's great. But
I think Sam Elliott was
kind Sam of Elliott's movie. Perfect in that movie.
Yeah.
I like a lot of the casting in that movie. It's just man the. You know, he fights Hulk dogs, and it's just strange. It's just very strange. I like
all the horror.
Yeah, I like the comic book framing he does in the movie, though, at times. Yeah, all that stuff's super cool. But yeah, I don't know. It's just it's overboard on a lot of what it does. It's interesting. Also, it doesn't end with a great fight. Which is too bad. I'm going to mention this movie because I know you love it. The Incredible Hulk Returns.
Well, I was going to, I was going to bring up any of those
old
Rebel Hunt movies.
But yeah.
Look, they don't. Like.
I know.
But
I know you love. I know you love them. I know you love those movies more than you love Ang Lee's Hulk.
I do.
Or probably The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, maybe. Probably.
Yeah. neither of us have any love for the Fantastic Four movies at all.
Yeah.
I remember, I don't know that I was excited for any of them, but man. They're just not good.
They're really bad.
I'm so excited about Marvel doing an actual version of these characters.
The thing is, it's not like they've been close before.
Yeah.
Like their misses have been astronomical.
Yeah. So bad. Like the worst. Yeah. Like, I mean that one Fantastic Four movie, Josh Trank, is that who directed it?
Yeah.
Is the maybe the worst comic book movie I've ever seen. And I've seen Elektra.
Wow, we gotta watch it.
Oh, it's bad. Man, it's so bad.
Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I would rather watch Batman and Robin.
Wow.
Whew. It's bad. All right, guys. What are we doing next time? We have no idea. We have no idea.
You'll be just as surprised as we are.
All right. Where can they find our previous episodes, Sean?
On genresquad.com.
Right. And we're on Twitter at Genre Squad.
Uh-huh.
Facebook, you can find us as Genre Squad. And then we're at genresquad@gmail.com if you want to email us with any suggestions or anything like that.
Yep.
All right. Awesome. Until next time, I'm Rob.
Are you?
I am. I believe okay. so. I'm Rob.
Sean.
And I'm not Sean.
I'm Sean.
Goodbye.
Terrible.